COF TV's 27th December. Start the day, your day the toe away in conjunction with Yahweh Kala, North West London. Ave Live Hella.
Reb Dudi asked me if I can give a shiur here for the Yahweh Kala. I told him, but tonight, that I don't have to give him a topic, and I can give over here exactly what we learn in yeshiva. Problem is, we're in the middle of a very difficult sugi of Davar HaGoyim L'Momen. But to our good fortune, I give a shiur every night in Novi. And we go to Nevi'im Rishonim, a perek a day. And we're holding Shmuel Beis. And we punk this Shabbos, we learned the Maisa of David HaMelech, Nifratz Peretz Be'uzo. When David brought back the Arim from Kiryas Yarim, he brought it back to Yerushalayim. So Uzzah passed away very tragically. Vayira David Ma'ides Hashem, he didn't know, what did I do wrong? And at first he thought, maybe the Aron is a liability, it's not kedai to have it with us in Yerushalayim. The second time he brought it back with the dancing, Vayicharkeh David, and Michal Bashol saw from the window and she wasn't pleased with what she saw. So this is what we learned this Shabbos. Now Yahweh Kala is supposed to be a yeshiva. And the first night of a yeshiva that you don't learn Navi. So what do? So we're stuck. But the Maisa is that this Navi was Zoicha, that is a Gemara that discusses the Pesukim. The Gemara in Saita Dafla Medhei Amad Aleph asks, Dorash Robo Mipnei Ma Nenash David. Why was David Nenash? Why was David Nenash that such a thing should happen? It's seen as an Einish for David. It's seen as an Einish for David, even though Uzzah was Nifter. Ima Oren Chazal tell us that Uzzah was a Tzaddik, and that he went straight to Gan Eden. But this was an Einish for David. What was the Einish for David? The Einish for David was that he forgot a din. It's a din, it's a pasuk mefurish in the Torah, it's a parsha in the Torah. In Parshas Nosoi, in the end of the parsha, in Perek Zayin, the Gemara, the pasuk talks about how there was the Chanukas HaMishkon. Rashi tells us that Yisrael Bo Yisrael were like a Kala Nichneses L'chupa. Nobody in this room has the experience of being a Kala Nichneses L'chupa. But it's a once in a lifetime experience. It's a once in a lifetime experience, and it's something that's anticipated for many years in advance. Klal Yisrael were finally reaching their high point. My Zaydi used to give drushes by Chasenes. He used to say that in German, Chasene is a Hochzeit. Hochzeit means the high point. High point of one's life. In Lashon Kodesh, the word Chasene is Miloshen Achayz Dargi, you go down. So he used to say, when you go down, if you continue going, you end up going back up. If you're at the peak already, so from there and on, you end up going down. If it's Nechayz Dargo, then it's the beginning of a journey upwards. But it was Kekala Nichneses L'chupa, Kal Yisrael, we're fulfilling the purpose of Bria Soilam. We don't understand why it's the case. But in order for there to be Shechina over here, V'shachanti B'soicham was dependent on V'ashuli Mikdosh. That's the way it was. V'shachanti B'soicham was dependent on V'ashuli Mikdosh, and for more than 2,000 years, the world was waiting for this moment that there should be Ashras HaShechina in this Oilam, and that is dependent on the Maisim of Klal Yisrael, particularly the Binyan HaMishkan. So when they were buying the Mishkan, that was the moment of Kala Nichneses L'chupa. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling them, I'm taking you in a state of permanence. And Klal Yisrael came forward, and the Nesim took a step back. They said, let's give them a chance. Let everybody make their contributions. There'll certainly be something outstanding. And then we will fill in the gap. And of course, Klal Yisrael outdid them, and there was nothing to be left. And at that moment, the Nesim said, we're going to bring the Agolis. We're going to bring six Agolis and 12 Bakar. And this is what will serve the purpose of transporting the Mishkan, Mimokoim, Lamokoim, because otherwise how would it travel? Chazal tells Moshe Rabbeinu had no implants for Agolis because he was certain that the Mishkan would travel Alpines, it would travel in the air. And it's further explained that had everyone been on the Darga of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what would have happened. Just like Aron Noisa is Noisa. So to the whole Aron, the whole Mishkan would have traveled Mimokoim, Lamokoim. But the Nesim, we're more in touch with the Madrega of Klal Yisrael and the gap between them and Moshe Rabbeinu. So they said, we're going to need Agolis. So they brought six Agolis and 12 Bakar. And the question was, Moshe Rabbeinu had a suffix whether you should accept it. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu tells him, take it and distribute it in the following way. Give two to Bnei Gershon and four to Bnei Merari. v'livnei kohos, you shouldn't give, ki avodas ha-kodesh aleihem, because they have to travel, they have to carry the kodesh, and therefore bakos if you sow, has to be carried on the shoulders. It's a pasuk in Chumash. So how did David not forget this? David brings the Eglah Chadosha to carry the Aron from one place to another place. How did David forget? It's a pasuk, and it's not only a pasuk. The Rambam brings it to the halacha. It's a halacha that the Aron can only be carried by Kosif, and on nothing else. Nothing but the Kosif. So this is Rabbi's Kasha in Soik Nachlamed Hamad Aleph. What happened to David HaMelech? David HaMelech was Kulei Torah. David HaMelech was the Malami Torah for all of Klal Yisrael. How did David HaMelech forget this din? Now, the truth is that the Mefarshim explained, the Gaon explains that David HaMelech thought that Bizman Noi, there was nobody worthy of carrying it on his shoulder. So it wasn't a mistake that he forgot the pasuk. It was a lumbish mistake. David thought, but Kosif, that Kosif is not this Kosif. The Kosif of Der Amidbar is one Kosif, and the Kosif of Der David is a different Der. So he felt, Adrab, it'll be a greater covet that nobody's Kosif should support the Orin. The Radak says another pshat. The Radak says that David dot Fashtamin, that it's not a din by Kosif. It's a din that the Orin has to be different to the rest of the Mishnah. The Orin has to be singled out. It's not a din dafka bakosif. It has to be upgraded. It can't be on the same level. It can't be carried in the same way as the rest of the Mishkan. So Bishlomo, when you're carrying the whole Mishkan on Agolos, so the Orin has to be bakosif. But Bizman David, where there was no Mishkan being carried, there was only the Orin that was being carried, so David felt maybe it's not ma'akev that it should be dafka bakosif. So it's fine, so it's not a toast of Ishtamutse. It's a longish toast, but still a toast. And Rava asks, Mipneima Nenash David, how did it come to David that he should forget such a din, or misinterpret such a din, or not apply the din in its proper way? Zogti Gemara Dorash Rava Mipneima Nenash David. Says Rava, you know what David's oinish was? You know what David's chet was that he received this oinish? The oinish wasn't a physical oinish. The very fact that he forgot the halacha, that was the oinish. But why did he deserve that oinish? Mipnei shekara lidivrei Torah zmiros, because we find in Tehillim that David refers to Torah as zmiros, and that says Rava is a chet. Shenemar zmiros hayilu chikacha beveis megura. Amar leHakadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David, divrei Torah shekatu bem hatoyef einecha beveinenu atokira isin zmiros. You're referring to my divrei Torah as zmiros. Hareini machtilcha bedavar shafilu tinoike shabeis rabon yoidinoise. I'm going to be machshel you with something that even tinoike shabeis rabon know them, right? Bimei chazal tinoike shabeis rabon nu ben chomesh lemikad einu chamish chomesh teira and sapasik nim teira. Dichsibu li bnei kos lei nasan ki avedis hakodesh ki avedis hakodesh vegeim. The EU Asiyah Agluso, and he brought it on an agol. So this is the explanation of Chazal. David's chet was that he called it zmiris. That he referred to Torah as Miris. That was a chet that led to him forgetting a din in Torah that even Tinoike Shabbos Rabban know. So the questions are obvious. First of all, what's the chet? What's the chet? Why? What's the avla of calling Torah as Miris? Okay? And why Taki did David call Torah as Miris? If it's inappropriate, why did he call it Miris? But if it was Nanash that he had to forget a din in Torah, there are many dinim in Torah that he could have forgotten. Why dafke this din of Bakosif Yisoh? Why dafke this din of Bakosif Yisoh? It's not random, it's not arbitrary, you're going to forget something. There are many dinim David could have forgotten. Why this din of Bakosif Yisoh? What is the connection between these two things? Rabbi Yisai, with your permission, if I can really test your tolerance over the next 20 minutes, I want to share with you a pshat that is used on the Arizal. It's a pshat al pi soit. But we're not going to go into soitis because... we're just going to see what we can glean from it and apply to our Havana to whatever degree that's possible. So let's first of all take a look in the taish of the words. Zmiris hayili chukecha beveis megura. What does megura mean? Beveis megura. What does beveis megura mean? So one pshat, there's two pshat in beveis megura. One pshat in beveis megura is that Bishasi was a ger. Bishasi was novenot. Beis Megura Miloshim Geirus. David had long periods in his life when he didn't have a home. When he was a fugitive, he was on the run. He didn't have a back, he didn't have shelter. Whoever he was, he had to look behind the shoulder whether he's going to be taken down, whether it was by Anshei Shaul or by his son of Sholem or other times with the Plishtim. He always had to flee. There were times when he was on the go. So the Beis Megudah, when he had nothing, no anchor, when he had no stability, when he had nothing to hold on to, at that moment, what were his mirois chukecha? Chukecha was like music to my ears. Music is a description of tainug, of oinag. You know, music, those of us that are sensitive to music, I'm told, music can transport you to a different dimension. It could bring you to a higher state of consciousness. You can forget about everything. If you have tzaras in your life, if you can tune into music, it can take you somewhere else. So zmira yisayim l'chukecha. Divrei Torah served that purpose. Yimud ha-Torah for David. David went into a sugya. Maybe he was learning Yevamos, the sugya of Zika. And he went into the sugya and it took him away. There was no Avshalom, there was no Beishol, there were no Plishtim, there were no Tzaris. Everything was fine. That's one type of Beis Megurai. Another type of Beis Megurai is Megurai Miloshin Leisaguru. Pachat. When he was metultul bepachat, when he was overtaken by fear, when he was consumed by real fear, David was, his life was on the line. Wherever he went in Eretz Yisrael, there could have been and there was likely to be someone who was loyal to Beishol. And if it's not loyalty to Beishol, it's opportunism. You turn in David, you'll become a hero in Beishol. Why not? There was nobody that he can trust. Yonason had to speak to him in a field. He said, hide behind the rock. I don't want to be seen talking to you. So David was consumed with pachat. Pachat. It wasn't pachat from the taxman. It was pachat from henchmen. So David had pachat. So during those moments of pachat, again, Zmira is hayi l'chukecha. Zmira Sayyid Lukacha Divrei Torah is what saved him. Divrei Torah transported him into some different place. That's what David is saying. David is Mishabeach Divrei Torah. So why Dach is Zmiris? Yes, we understand Zmiris. But there are many other things of Oinek that we have in this world. Why Dach is Zmiris? Why Dach is Zmiris? The Targum on the word Zmiris says Tushbachon. Tushbachon means Shevach. The Shevach of Torah. Not the occupation with Torah, but the appreciation of what Torah is. Zmira is hayu lichukecha, when I was mishabeach Torah. Of course, there's the simple pshat that Zmira means it gave him oinik. But what gave him the oinik? The shevach of Torah. Another pshat says the Arizal that Zmira is hayu lichukecha, Zmira is miloshein lezamer ritzin, like a zoymer, to cut away at something. To cut away at something. Ozi v'zimros yor, Rashi says, to be zoymer, to cut away. Divrei Torah cut away at the tzoras that David had. So what the Arizal says this means is that not only that Torah allowed him to transcend and not be affected and not be pulled down by his negative circumstances, but as a result of his Asik Batoira, he managed to change those very circumstances. There's a pasuk in Tilim, "Mi yemaleil gevurei Hashem yashmiya kol tehilosoi yemaleil miloshen malilu mila." There's a word they say b'shem Abal Shem Tov, malilu mila miloshen mila. If you want to cut away at the gevurei Hashem, yashmiya kol tehilosoi. You say the whole Tilim from beginning to end. That will change your circumstances. David HaMelech says that his esek batoira was like Zmiros, it was Zoymer, it cut away at all of those things that were after him. Whenever his life situation was not the way it should be, through Esa Katoira, those very things changed. That's what the Arizal says. Zmiros is the second pshat. There's the Gemara in Gittin, we all know the Gemara, where Reb Elezer was asked by a fellow Tana, he says, I have people that are tormenting me and they're giving me hardship and I don't know what to do, should I be Moisedem Lamalchus? And he says to him, Hashpin Bahare Baleyam Bidivre Toira, Vain Kolime Eleyam. If you should be Isaac Batoira properly, that will do away with it. You don't have to take physical means. Someone of your stature, if he's Isaac Batoira in the proper way, and we'll see what the Arizal considers the proper way, that will automatically deal away with them. And Kachava the Gemara says, he went to the Beis Medrash and Gneva was taken Lakoila, Gneva was the threat was eliminated. It just disappeared. Everything was neutralized. David, through Limud HaTorah, David HaMelech says, Mira Yisraeli Chukech, Beveis Megurei, how did I do away with Beveis Megurei? Not only how was I not affected by it emotionally and psychologically and internally, why didn't it tear me into bits internally, but how did I actually change things? How was it that all of these circumstances were reversed through Chukecha? Because your Chukecha served to me as Mirois. Reminds me of the story, you know, they say Amaisa with Reb Zusha. It's a famous story, everybody says the story, but it sounds a little primitive, it sounds a little naive sometimes, the way it's repeated. So the kid said, the Maisa is that somebody comes to the Magid in Mizrich, and he says, I hear you're a great tzaddik, I need your advice, I have troubles, my life is full of hardship, and I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know how to deal with it. Give me an Eitzah. Give me an Eitzah, though notwithstanding my tzaris, I should retain my sanity, I should be a happy man, notwithstanding what's going on around me. And Chazal say, Kishem Shem Mevorchem Al HaToiv, Kach Mevorchem Al HaRa, right? Kishem, or Medayik Kishem, it has to be with the same state of mind, with the same Midas HaYishtavus. But how do you do it? How do you implement it? They say, Amaisa, with the brother of, that he was a Rosh Yeshiva, and he was also a very wealthy man. And his business was that he would import logs, he would import wood. Before fuel, wood was what was used to heat people's homes. So he would import big logs, he would buy off big forests and have them chopped off and brought over by ship, and then he would sell it to the locals, and he was a very wealthy man. And one time, there was one summer when he was doing a very, very big deal that would have supplied the whole area for the next winter, and if this deal should succeed, he would be able to close shop and retire in peace. He would have enough parnasa for him and his einklach forever and ever. He took out big loans, and he leased or bought a huge, huge section of the forest, and he sent extra men, and he was going to bring this huge ship of wood. He had to stretch himself financially in order to bring this deal to make it happen, but once it's over, everything will be b'menucha. And a terrible tragedy happened. This very ship, with all of the goods on it, went under. There was a storm, and the ship went under. And this meant, pretty much, there's no chapter 11, there's no declaring bankruptcy. This meant that for the rest of his life, he's going to have to earn a penny for a penny to pay back this debt. He'll be a bal choyv. His stature, his honor, everything. The man went from there to here within a moment. Everything is lost. Now, when the news came to town, he was in the Beis Medrash learning. And people were afraid, how are they going to convey this to him? How are they going to convey to him this information that this just happened to you? A man just faced such a calamity. He lost everything. So, one of his Talmidim said, leave it to me, I'll deal with it. And he went over to Rosh Yeshiva and said, the Rebbe, the Gemara says, in Brachas, Geshem Shem Vorchem Al HaToiv, Kach Vorchem Al HaRa. How do you understand this Gemara? How do you understand Pshat? How are you supposed to be Mevorach Kishem? It has to be in the same way, with the same Shevach and Haidah. What do you mean Ra? Ra means terrible things. He says, for example, if your ship would go under, would you be able to Kishem? So he says, if Chazal say so, then that's what they want. It means that we have the ability to live up to this. So he says to him, Rebbe, I want to tell you, your ship just went under. And at that moment, he fainted. And when they revived him, he was pulling his ear and saying, what am I going to do? What's going to be with my children who I'm supporting? What's going to be with my wife? What's going to be with my family? And he couldn't come back to himself. And eventually his Talmud asked him, but what happened to the Gemara? What happened to the Gemara? Kashem Shemavarchim. So he says, you know something? You're right. I don't understand the Gemara. In theory, we understand everything. But when it comes to application, it's a different story. So the Magid was asked this question. So the Magid says to this Yid, listen, I can't help you, but there's a Yid in Anipoli, his name is Reb Zusha, he's the right man for this question. And to cut a long story short, he goes to that city, and he seeks out Reb Zusha. Reb Zusha was a tremendous Anvis and Kol Yomav, even when he was a Rebbe, and Chassidim came to him, he always spoke about himself as a simpleton, as a nothing. Certainly back then, he wasn't yet known. So he lived at the end of town, nobody knew of such a person. He says, where's the great Rebbe Reb Zusha? There's no Rebbe Reb Zusha. Finally, he comes to the house, and it's dilapidated, it's leaking, there's no heating, there's no furniture, the kids are without shoes. It's a very horrible sight, very, very difficult sight to behold. And he knocks on the door and he's certain, oh, someone who's under in this situation, he is the person who can really answer me. Because he lives it every day. My problem is his problem, right? You need someone who can empathize, someone who understands, someone who's there with you. Someone who doesn't have it, doesn't know it. So he knocks on the door and he says, I have a message for you from the Maggid. He says, the Maggid sent you to me, who am I? So he says, listen, let me get to the point. The question is, how does one deal with difficult circumstances and yet retain one's peace of mind and one's optimism and positivity? How do you do it? How do you do it? So the Bzusha wasn't a man who played games, and he wasn't a liar. Right? And he didn't think it's going to become a story that's going to have a nice caption and a headline. He says to him, listen, I don't know what to tell you. The Maggid sent you to me, and I don't want to argue with the Maggid. But I really don't see how I can ever answer the question, because in my life, I've never had a hard day in my life. My life has always been good to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has always been good to me. I never had any tzaras, I never had any hardships. So you need someone who's experienced it, who's been there. Now the story goes that the man walked home and he had his answer, oh, Gevaldik, because here you see that it's possible. But what's Takif Shat? What, if Zusha didn't see that the house next door was a mansion and he was living in a shack? He didn't see that there was no basic provisions in his house? Was he totally oblivious? He was out of this world. What's Pshat in the Maisa? I would think the Pshat is Pashit. Reb Zusha had his priorities right. Reb Zusha said, I have a Gemara Yevamos. I have a Gemara Ksubis. I have Kachim. I have Taris. The neighbor who's living in the mansion is a bored man. He has no content. He has no meaning in his life. I have nothing to complain about. Zmiris Ha'ili Chukecha. I have such value, such meaning that it compensates and it renders everything insignificant. Everything else pales in light of what I can give my children. I can't give them shoes, but I can give them a sense of joy, a sense of purpose, a connection to their own souls, to their own neshamas. I can give them such a toichen in their lives that nobody else in this town can ever offer to them. So in fact, he saw himself. He perhaps would have felt sorry for the others. Speak to the man living in the mansion. He's got a problem. I don't know how he ends his day without depression. I come from the Maggid, and I'm so elated. I'm so infused with Kedusha, with Tara. Come to my Shabbos table, and then you'll see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me everything that I need. I sit and I learn Eilam Tzias with my 10-year-old son, and that's the biggest time, and that's the biggest einig. I don't have Kishem Shem Baruch Malara. If Chas V'Shalom I couldn't learn with my son, that would be a problem. If my son would say, Tati, I don't want to learn with you, leave me alone. Then there would be an issue. But he's learning with me, he enjoys it, he begs me to learn with him. That's the biggest bracha in the world. So Kishem Shem Baruch Malara Toiv, it's always Toiv to me, says Reb Zusha. Rabbi Isai, but David HaMelech was saying something more than that, says the Arizal. David HaMelech was saying not only that Torah puts everything in proportion, but that Torah actually changes one's circumstances. And how is that so? Says the Arizal, L'chayda, you know, I learned Torah, it doesn't really help. My salary doesn't go up because I learned more Torah. Right? And I'm not going to find a parking space if I'm going to Chazer Perik Mishnayis as I come to the car park. So how does it work? I don't drive, by the way. I never have a problem with parking. Says the Arizal that David HaMelech, these two pshatim, tushbacham, the shevach of Torah, if somebody appreciates the real shevach of Torah, then that leads to the following pshat of zmira, of zoymer, of cutting away tzaras of a person. What is the shevach of Torah? Says the Arizal that the truth of the matter is that the whole world is dependent on a diktu kal shel divrei Torah. On a diktu kal shel divrei Torah, the kiyum ha'olam is toli. He says, you know, we know we do mitzvahs. Why do we do mitzvahs? We do mitzvahs because it's a tzivei Hashem. Put on tefillin because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says so. Keep Shabbos because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says so. But the Mekubalim tell us, al pi Kabbalah, not that this should be the motivation for our doing a mitzvah, or not that it should even be a critical component of the mitzvah. But the reality is such that whenever a person does a mitzvah, there are hamshachas that are nimshach into this world and into all the olam ha'elyonim. Now if a person does the mitzvah kitikuna the way it's supposed to be, then those things are nimshach. And if he doesn't, then they're not nimshach. Take for example, just an example that we can relate to. Take for example, the Avodas Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippur. The basic God of Yom Kippurim was meant to bring kapara for Klal Yisrael. And then Chazal tell us, the Mari Koyim, B'tzei Semin HaKodesh, if the Koyim God emerged alive and it was Nefach from it was Nefach Lelavon. We had feedback from heaven that Baruch Hashem, we have Kapara. It was a tremendous simcha and a celebration. There was a procession that led from the Beis Hamikdash to his house. It was like a party, a carnival. Matzah Yom Kippur was a very special moment. Now, what brought that kapara? The fact that all of the actions of the Kohen Gadol during those 24 hours were in compliance with Torah. Let's for one moment imagine if the Kohen Gadol would divert his attention for 5 minutes during the Hakrav of a Korban. And he would have the wrong mashal. He would think the wrong thing. So the Korban would become ice Korban, and the kapara wouldn't have been achieved. And the destiny of Klal Yisrael for the next 12 months would be in jeopardy. Says that result, the same is true with every mitzvah. We don't know exactly what it's meant to achieve. And we're blinded. We have these blinders, we have these filters. We see things only in this physical world. But if we had access to what goes on in Eilu Mesoyonim, we would see how every mitzvah is accomplishing tremendous things. And all of the world, Istakel Bairaisu Bora Alma, all of the world is dependent on Torah. Says the Arizal, if somebody has this appreciation, if somebody has this Tushbechon, if somebody values Torah in its true right, in the way that it deserves to be valued, says the Ari, that automatically aligns the world in connection to what this. That person can never face anything that should go against the limit Torah. If the person has the correct appreciation for Torah, then the person's circumstances have to become subservient to the Ratzon of Torah and the Ratzon of the limit of Torah. And it's a pshat in the Gemara, hashkem ha'arev aleim, not that he should stop learn. If you're hashkem ha'arev aleim, the Beis HaMedrash, if you learn on this level, if you have this tushbuch, on this appreciation of what Torah is, if you internalize in your mind and you live by it and you appreciate and you've downloaded in a real way that Torah is what dictates the reality of the universe, then that's what's going to happen in your life. And your circumstances will comply with what is needed for your limud ha'Torah. So the question is, if this is so what's the chet of David HaMelech? The way the Arizal explains Pshat and David HaMelech's toast, so what's the chet of David HaMelech? Mipnei ma ne'enash David. And back to the original question, why was the einish that he forgot this pasuk of Bakosif Yisrael? Says the Arizal that all of this is true. All of the above notwithstanding. All of this is true. But none of the above actually defines what Torah really is. He says Torah has a pninius and a chitzonius. All of the above is only the chitzonius of Torah. The truth of Torah is not the degree to which it influences the world, or it impacts the world, or it brings forth hamshach into the world. The truth of Torah is a raisu v'kutshu b'richel kul l'chada. It's one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the only thing that matters if you're looking at the pnimius of Torah. Someone on the level of David HaMelech should never have focused on the chitzonius of Torah, namely what Torah does for me, or for the universe, or for the world, because all of this world is kula kanei kalach hashiv. It should only have, the only thing that should have mattered in Torah is that the Torah is the Ratzon Hashem, and a raisu v'kutshu b'richel kul l'chada, and it's one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through limud HaTorah we are united with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not what it does to me in terms of my mindset, in terms of my emotional stability, or even in terms of my circumstances changing the entire world. That's all the chitzonius of Torah. David HaMelech should have focused on the pnimius of Torah. That it's one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it unites you with Hashem, irrespective of what it does. For example, with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well, we could say, Marabu Masecho Hashem, and look at the world and say, this is the Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that creates the world. But it doesn't define HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shevach. Because all of the world is Kamei Kalach Hashim. It's so insignificant that it doesn't constitute Shevach. Because he's infinitely greater than everything that this world and all worlds have to offer. So this was David HaMelech's chet. Mipnimah ne'enash David, that he didn't focus on the pnimius of Torah. Says the Arizal, why did he forget this mitzvah? Because if you saw, listen to the Loshon HaRambam. The halacha is that you have to carry the Oren on the Kosev. How are you supposed to carry the Oren on the Kosev? Normally, if you were carrying something that has two poles coming out from the side, you would have four people, and they would each have, the poles would be coming this way, they would each have one on their shoulder, and they would walk. So two to the right, left, two to the right, and they would walk in this direction. Says the Rambam, you have to walk in the other direction. And they each have to be walking sideways, facing the Aram. Listen to the Lashon HaRambam. Let me read the Rambam from the beginning. Chedek Beis Halacha Yud Beis Hilchas Klei HaMikdash. Be'ez shem melichin es ha'arim yimakim l'makim. Ein melichin ois eloi ala be'ema, v'loi ala ha'golos, ela mitzvah l'noitloi ala kosif. Ulefi she'shochach David unesoi ala ha'golos, nifratz peretz v'uzo. elamitzul enosi ala kotev shenema kavidus akidish alehem ba kosev yiso. Kishenoisin oise ala kosev noisin ponim kineget ponim vachridehem lachutz upnehem lifnim. So the poles, the badim would be in the direction of the destination. You're trying to go that way, the poles would be this way, and four people, I'm sorry, the poles would be the other way, and the four people would be facing inwards and going sideways. So it would be pneim klape fnim, vachareim lachutz. Says the Arizal, what is this mitzvah? What is this mitzvah of pneim lifnim? The mitzvah of bakosif yiso is to remember and to internalize and to behave and to actualize the idea that Torah, the main aspect of Torah, is the pnimius and not the chitzonius. That's why it had to be klape fnim. David HaMelech, who focused on Zmiras, Hayu Lichu Kecha, which was the Chitzonius of Torah, what did he forget? Mida Keneged Mida, the very mitzvah that embodies and symbolizes and represents the idea of focusing only on the Pnimius of Torah. The Rishalmi says, why were the Luchas Me'ever Le'ever? Because they had no Achiraim, it was only Pnimius. It was like a Sefer. Normally a Sefer has a front and a back. The Luchas, any side you looked at it, was the front. This was the Einish, this was the Mida Keneged Mida, this was the consequence. David HaMelech focused, Zmiras Hayu Lichu Kecha. For us, it would be a very big madrega to have Zmiras Hayu Lichu Kecha. But for David HaMelech to have, for one moment, given too much attention to the Chitzonius of Torah, to the effect and the benefit and the impact that is acquired and achieved through Torah, so David's Einish was that he forgot the very mitzvah that is an embodiment of focusing only on Pnimius of Torah. Yeah, Rabbi Isai, I hope we survived.